Afternoon. My name is Dan Wolvers. Welcome on behalf of the Richards family. And I was in the back. It took me a few minutes to work my way up here. I want you to just take a look around and understand what a life well lived looks like. If you're in the front. Rich. And that's how I always knew him as. That's how he always introduced himself. That's how he introduced himself to me, was Rich. Three things always come to mind. His earnest and real love for God. An amazing servant's heart. And a smile and a laugh that permeated the four mentioned attributes. They were all three interchangeable, and Rich embodied what I would call a complete and authentic relationship with Jesus. And some of you go, I don't know what that means. It just means in every way that Rich was a person, Jesus was a part of him, and there was no pretense about him, or guile for that matter. He knew he was a sinner. But I think he also knew very well that everyone he met in life was also a sinner. And as a result, his love for God in Christ was so tangible because he had been rescued from death. And he knew what awaited him on that day. I don't think he thought 2 weeks ago today was his time, but he was ready for it. And I think that's really the basis of his life. He was ready for that day. And as a result, as long as I've known him, which has been over 30 years, he gave his life for others. He was always a helping hand around here in every way imaginable, both in ministries that required long-term commitment, Sunday school and others, but in every little event, if chairs had to be moved or whatever, Rich was always there. He loved kids. He gave his life up for his foster sons. And up to his dying breath, he was serving. Jesus is the one who said, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. Rich Bedio was a great man. And if you knew Rich, you knew a sense of humor, which could almost say anything. And then follow it with a smile or a laugh that made the joke even better. I want to close with this because so many great people are up here to speak on his behalf today. But Hillary, our Sunday school director, recounts a story last week to our staff when she first met Rich. And Hillary is a striking woman. She's tall and she stands out, but she's married. And so when Rich first met her, he looked at her and he says, "Do you have a younger sister?" Now, I want you to know, Rich is a good 15 years older than Hillary. So a friend who overhears this says, "Rich, you're too old for Hillary. Why would you ask if she has a younger sister?" And Rich beams and says, "If you're going to dream, dream big." Let's give glory to God. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we come today to honor a man you know well, a man who now resides in your presence. And we wish to honor him, but in doing so, we wish to honor you because you've made this all possible for us to not grieve without hope and to know that on that day we die, it will be the greatest day of our life. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.
Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor. Nuestras almas se acercaron tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor. Pero tú llevas también sabor a mí. Si negaras mi presencia, ti que por fuerza llevas ya sabor a mí. No pretendo ser tu dueña, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad.
Lord, don't let me strive against my brothers. I'm so tired of it, don't wanna do it no more. Lord, don't let us fight against each other. Let us be one in you. Lord, give us love for one another. In what we say, yes, and what we do. Lord, teach us to build up one another. Sake, let us learn to wait on the Spirit's move. We know that the hour is so late, and you'll be coming soon. La da da, pa 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 da pa pa da.
Songs about loving. Thought I knew about love, and I used to write songs about good times and friends. A good time was all that I thought of, and I used to write songs about women. Crying in my beer late at night, and I used to write songs and dark old honky tonks. Brother, I was never satisfied.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I?
All right, I'm shorter than almost everybody. So thank you guys all for coming. I had an idea it was going to be something like this. I just want to, I'm Roman, Rich's brother, Lil, sister. We have Rosella way in the back. Stand up, Rosella. There she is. That's our cousin right there. Our other cousin, Aura, stand up. Right there. Good. Vera, stand up real quick. Quick. All right. Okay. Now, we also have nieces and nephews. And can you all please stand? I'll go ahead. All stand together. Nieces and nephews, stand up. All right. Go ahead and sit down. Okay. So, Dominic, stand up. Dominic should have went first. Dominic, how old were you when?
14.
14 years old when he came to live with Richard. Richard was 21, if you didn't know that. Pretty cool. So, we are Padilla, in case you guys didn't know that Rick was Hispanic. And I don't know what you guys were laughing at. We were cool back in those days. Now I think I'm funny, you know what I mean? I was like, God, what happened? I really have serious stuff to say, but I'm going to get right to it. So there's a verse in the Bible that you're going to hear a lot about the Bible. Sorry about that, but if that bothers you, here we go. There's a story about a guy named Enoch in the Bible in the Old Testament. It doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch. But one line in the Old Testament about Enoch was that Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him. And when I first got the news about Richard, which I was one of the last because my phone was absolutely gone munched and I wasn't getting phone calls, no nothing. So my wife had to tell me late in the day, and we're sitting on the couch, and this picture, it's not just a verse in the Bible, this picture came to me of almost like a top coming down on a deep, dark hole. And that's what it was. My brother was on a mission trip, a first mission trip of his life, although you look back, his whole life was a mission, but he was having the time of his life. He was, and if you've never been on a mission trip, I'm going to tell you, this is, if you want to know and sense and feel the heart of God, you go someplace and you serve the Lord, you know, it's almost like a manic experience. I mean, you want to get out of your bubble. I absolutely recommend doing something like that. My brother was the first one ever, and he was really excited to go. He was with a team that was just extraordinary. They were in a beautiful area. The shot of the horses, that was Guatemala, and he was hiring a kite. He was just. And so what other, and that's what it was. It was like, almost like God was saying to me, you know what? You need to go in the same way. You need to do the same thing. You need to be serving me, you know, when your time comes up. And that's something I think that we all need to kind of know and understand. So there's a story in the Bible. I'm going to hurry this along, okay? There's 10 lepers in this little town, and Jesus comes into this town. And these 10 lepers, they knew that this was the Jesus that was going around healing everybody. And so they recognized and they knew and they understood what their opportunity was. And so they start crying out to Jesus. Bono and B.B. King wrote a song about something like this. It's called When Love Comes to Town. And I was going to sing the song, but I don't know if I'm going to do that. But it's a good song. But it's not a Christian song, but it's Bono is like the master of ambiguity, and there's a genius in that. But when love comes to town, I'm going to catch that train. I'm going to jump that train. When love comes to town, I'm going to catch that plane. And this has something new. You'll see when I finish talking finally. So anyway, these guys, they cried out to be healed from Jesus. And Jesus told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And then they took off, and they were healed on the way, okay? Now, if you don't know what leprosy is like your skin is like actually dying while you're still alive, and you can actually, like, stuff falls off. We all have that. We all have that condition that we carry with us every day, a certain amount of death and dying, and we got to know where healing comes from. And so these guys, they took off going. There were 10 of them, and they were healed along the way, all right? Well, one of them turned around and came back, and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he worshiped. And that's why Richard has this going on. Richard was a worshiper. He wasn't just a healed guy that was thankful for, you know, his life being restored to him. He came back. He fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped. And so when he came back and fell at his feet, Jesus said to him, you know, stand up, and your faith has made you heal and made you whole. So what the morning that he passed, and I might get the story just a little bit wrong, but Richard was running, and I pictured that one guy running. If it was me, I'd be running. I'd be running because I was healed. My life was healed. So I'd be running back to the feet of Jesus to worship him. Well, Richard was running to catch a bus because he was going to go on some kind of tour or something like that. Well, he collapsed. And he was surrounded by doctors. It was a medical, mostly medical mission, right? And so the doctors, they even had the AED, and it didn't work. They weren't bringing him back. But when Richard fell, it was at the feet of Jesus. He was a worshiper. He fell at the feet of Jesus. And this is that door that closed over that dark hole of why he was too young. He wasn't. Why not us? Because he was. There's plenty of us here that, you know, are older and more beat up and everything else than Richard. You know, but that dark hole, and that was closed over because I knew Richard was walking with God. He was having the time of his life, and it was closer. It was closer to go home, and that was his time. This is God. God took him. And so I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to fight over it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to aspire to be doing when my time comes. So we all have stuff we could be thankful for. We all have, I know we all have our trials and tribulations. We all have our leprosy that we carry around with us. But we have to know and understand what the situation is, what our opportunities are. We can all turn around. You can be thankful. That's great. But you really want to know it. You turn around and you come back. You worship at the feet of Jesus. And that's the message that I believe I'm supposed to bring today, is that fall at the feet of Jesus. You will be lifted up in the loving arms of Jesus, and you're not going to look back. You're not going to look back. You're going to be so surrounded by his glory. All right? Okay. Look.
I'm going to try and get through this. I'm Lillian Padilla. Okay, so back in, you know, I just thought of this morning or last night, and I'm like, okay, when I moved to New Mexico, I learned how to say, like, taco, enchilada, you know, tamales, and, you know, relleno, and Richard thought I could speak Spanish. I used to tell people at my art group, I said, you know, there's not a Hispanic bone in my brother's body. I said, I got to try to teach him, you know. But, okay, so I'm going to try and make this really fast. Oh, my gosh. And I didn't write anything. Why? Because there was just too many things spinning in my head. I came up here the last 40 years. Richard was the best brother with Roman, too. But I don't want to leave Roman out.
That was an afterthought. Oops. I came out. I said that out loud.
Dominic's like the best nephew. All of my nephews are so handsome. I've got the most handsome nephews on the planet. Grandma always said. Okay, so my brother, when he was little tiny baby, he was born with two bottom teeth. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you something you didn't know. And we had a grandfather named Francis Slater, my mother's father, and he went during the Depression. He took about four trips, as I understand. Vera could probably tell the story better. But he went down to Mexico to rescue some of the family that was starving to death, some cousins and your mother, people that were starving to death in his family. That's the stock that we come from. We come from really great, great men. Not all of them, but, you know... you know, I could say, you know, Uncle Nash, what a doll. I mean, come on. And so I think Richard took after that grandfather of ours, Francis Slater, because Francis Slater ended up with tuberculosis, and he died when my mom was 3 years old. Hold that for me. Anyway, the only story, and my mom always felt bad about losing her father so young. When Richard was a tiny baby, my mom nicknamed him Angel. And it was always, my little angel, he was lovers. And anyway, Me and Betty Ann, we were the girls. The girls. So she wanted... Okay, I'm running out of time. Quickly, I wanted to tell a story about when Richard was 18 years old. He was evangelizing on the streets of Albuquerque. He was only 18. He had only been a Christian, what, 4 years? And he met a pregnant woman, a young girl about his age, and now she lives by me in Santa Fe. He helped her give birth to her first baby. He met her on the street and said, God loves you, Diane. Everything's going to be okay, you know. And she used to come home from work and find bags of groceries at the apartment. And she knew it was from Richard. And she'd say, Richard, let me pay you back. And he'd say, no, it's fine. He ends up going to Lamaze classes with her. And he was the first one to hold her baby when she gave birth because he helped her breathe and pop out Brock Salazar, who is now a hard rock, whatever they call it, heavy metal guy. So Richard lost touch with her because he was in Shiloh moving around. And she told me recently, she never stopped praying for Richard. She said, your brother was my angel. She said, he used to always bring me groceries. And just, there I am on the street, pregnant, no father. He took off. So when Richard came to visit me 2 years ago in Santa Fe, he said, come and meet them. I haven't seen Diane Salazar, you know, for 42 years, and I'm going to meet her son that I was there when she had Brock. And I said, Richard, I'm so tired. You know, Richard, oh, he says, come with me. I'm going to Albuquerque. So I didn't go with him. I regret. And so he had a great time. But the way he found this woman was like a miracle. We go to this little church out there in Española, and he walks up to some pastor. He says, my name is Rich Padilla. This sounds like a dumb question, but I used to know a woman who lived in Española 40 years ago. And anyway, she's my friend. I'm trying to find her. And Richard didn't know that Diane had been trying to find Richard for 40 years. So the pastor looks at, well, who are you trying to find? And he said, well, you might know somebody named Brock Salazar. And the pastor goes, oh, yeah, oh, I know Brock. He's running from God, you know. And so that's how Richard got back in touch with Brock and Diane. So I never met them after Richard died. She's texting me all over the place, crying, telling me what an angel he was. Okay, so it's a great story, but I can't finish it. Okay. So since there's so many great friends here, I just wanted to share this. Richard was one of my best friends for over 30 years. We spent a lot of time together, and more often than not, it was always centered around food because Richard loved to eat. Me too. Now, here is the part that I loved about Richard. After eating, the conversation would always return to God's word and great fellowship about the Lord. I'm not saying that this would happen occasionally, but every single time. And the conversation would be deep and rich. I just loved his encouragement. Again, he encouraged Diane. Here is another thing that speaks volumes into my life. Richard showed me how to finish strong in this race that we are in as followers of Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, and these are the words of Paul the Apostle, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Richard, thank you for being such a close friend. And I eagerly await to spend eternity with you. Thank you for being such a great and close friend throughout all these years. I will see you soon. I miss you. Love you deeply. deeply. Thank you, Dave Bryant, for helping me up here, and Amy, and all, I mean, Kelly, the sister wives, Kristen, all of you. Thank you for coming. Liz, Quesada. I don't know if any of you knew this, but if you next time you hear the song, you might kind of tear up. One of Richard's favorite songs was Natalie Cole and her father singing Unforgettable. And one time we were up here in Lake Tahoe, and he played this song for me. He said, do you like this song? Do you love this song? I said, Richard, I said, I love that song. So here we are, just the two of us, in his car, cruising around as usual. And Richard was playing that song for me. So that song is never going to be the same. I think I'll crack up finally and go to the hospital where I need to go when I hear that song. Because he was unforgettable.
Yes, I did outgrow my dad. Hello, my name's Jesse Padilla. I'm Richard's nephew. We were told to keep this short, but obviously we're related to Richard, so. I want to start by reading from the book of Matthew. Then the king will say to those on his right, Dominic, you're winning. We had Dominic have a little side competition on who will cry less, so he gets 1 point. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was starving. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When I got the call from Dominic 2 weekends ago, the Lord put that verse on my heart. To me, it perfectly sums up who Richard was. He was a servant, and not just to the high rollers at Harris, but to those who needed it. Richard understood God's call in his life, and he lived it out to the best of his abilities. He didn't do it for recognition on this earth, but he did it because that's how he served God, and that's how he showed God's love to others. As I think back on all those ways that Richard put others before himself, sometimes it was cooking dinner, lending hands around the church, finally going on a missions trip, or letting his nephew and his ragtag group of friends come stay at his house every weekend in Tahoe to feed our snowboarding addiction. Richard was never annoyed or put out by any of that. My friends and I would come up almost every weekend. I'd bring 3 or 4 people in his house, and he'd warmly welcome us every time. And over the years, we all became close, and my friends enjoyed his company, and we shared lots of meals and laughters and a lot of great stories together. And so I'm going to do my best to share a story of Richard and see if I can do him justice. So when I was in high school, I was a wrestler, and I was in Fresno. We go to the best places to go to wrestling tournaments. And my dad came, and Richard decided to come down, and it was a night after weigh-ins. And so my dad, Richard, myself, and my coach go to the old spaghetti factory for dinner. And we're in a booth off to the side, and next to us is a table full of high school students. And they're all dressed up. It was probably a winter ball or a formal of some sort. And Richard's in the booth, and we're talking, and one of our favorite things to do as nieces and nephews was to get Richard telling stories about this one particular neighbor he had who liked to yell questionable things at Richard. And so I get Richard going, you know, and my high school coach is there, and we're laughing. And of course, with Richard's going, he's getting louder and louder. Every story is, you know, more dramatic. Well, by the time we're on the fourth story, I kind of look over to my left. The entire table of high schoolers is like this. They're not eating. They're not talking. It's just pre-cell phones, but they had cell phones. They wouldn't be texting or snapping or anything. Like, they were locked in. And then I look back. I look at my coach, my dad, and Rich. They have no idea what's going on over here. Richard gets right to the crescendo of the story, and the whole table erupts. Needless to say, they left that night talking about Richard. And we, of course, razzed him about how we can't take him anywhere and how loud he is and verbose. But that's what we loved about Richard. We loved his big personality. We loved who he was, his good heart, his kind heart. But this world lost an amazing man. I will miss Richard, his larger-than-life personality, his contagious laugh, and the way him and my Aunt Lil made every family meeting a comic event. Looking out at all of you now, I know Richard would have loved this. Sorry. He'd want us to laugh. He'd want us to enjoy each other's company. He'd want us to eat good food. We're going to do that later. And he'd want us to celebrate life, knowing that he is now in the ultimate paradise. I can only imagine his face when he first walked into heaven and set eyes on the Lord. And he heard him say, "Thank you for taking care of me when I didn't have a home, for feeding me and giving me clothes. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Thank you.
My name is Jeremy, another of Richard's nephews. I just want to say thank you to each of you for being here. It is an absolute privilege to stand here right now before you. I was told this room holds about 450 people, and I picture in my mind, Rick Padilla, party of 400, your table's ready. As it's been mentioned many times already today, Richard loved to eat out. He loved to bring us all together, to break bread together, and he could probably never find a restaurant big enough to get us all together to eat together. Well, Richard, it happened. And I can't help but also imagine that he's extremely thrilled right now to know that he finally got us all to come to his church. So again, Richard, you win. If you guys wouldn't mind, indulge me real quick here. If you wouldn't mind closing your eyes. And I want each of you to imagine and just remember one of your favorite memories of a time with Richard. Maybe it's a time you see his smile. Maybe you hear that laugh. Maybe it was one of his stories, words of wisdom, whatever it was. I want you to see that in your mind's eye right now. And please hold on to that. Hold on to the gratitude that you feel for that moment with him. And I ask, you can open your eyes. I ask, please take that story, whatever that is for you, that moment you shared with Richard, take it and share it with someone else. Go and tell those stories. Because as been pointed out here, our family and this community, we're all family now. We lost one of the best storytellers ever, one of the best storytellers I'll ever know. And I'm sorry, but our family, we have to keep that going. We have to keep those stories going because Richard's life has impacted so many people, and that doesn't stop now that he's with the Lord. It can continue every time you tell that story of Richard. And so I thank you for that, and thank you for being here.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Dominic Westlake, for those who don't know me. And this, but actually, I'm a Padilla at heart. And this is my family. And it was as a result of Richard's life and his love for me, this is my extended family. So as Roman had said, Richard and I met when I was 14, and he was 21. He just turned 22. Right before his 22nd birthday. We lived in a ministry called Shiloh Youth Revival Center, and it was a nationwide Christian ministry that it was a commune back in the 70s. And there was a ministry house here in Lake Tahoe. And that's how we became connected. He became my legal guardian. At the age of 13, I left home. And at the age, when he was 21, he became my legal guardian. And it was kind of funny to watch people's reactions because I would introduce him to my friends or my teachers, and I would put my arm around him and say, "This is my dad." And people would kind of look at us kind of funny. You do the math, 7.5 years, okay? So I said, "Well, no, he's actually my big brother, you know." But he was also my best friend. There's some people here who are in Shiloh at the time, and it's amazing how that part of our lives, how we're still friends and we still love each other, and we're still, you know, together, which that was a great time of our lives, and God used that in all of our lives to bring us together, and God used that and brought Richard to Tahoe. For me. But also he brought the Tahoe for you. Sorry. I said I wasn't going to say that, but I did. So, living with Richard was always an adventure. After the Shiloh house closed down, he took me to his own house. At one point, my mom wanted me to go home, and I told him I'll run away before I go home, because my experience with him was so amazing. And it was so God-centric and so loving. We talked about going out to dinner. If he found a new restaurant, we'd go to it 2 weeks straight. We'd just go to it nonstop. Then we'd go to another restaurant and keep doing it. He was searching for new restaurants. One time we were back in Florida to watch one of the space shuttle launches. We spent half the day looking for a restaurant. And we had just finished breakfast. So... another one of those experiences was when I was 15, I'm not sure for those of us who are older, there was a lettuce strike in Yuma, Arizona, and Cesar Chavez and such. And there was a group of us that went down to pick lettuce for 2 weeks in Yuma. And he took me out of school to pick lettuce. And at the end of the time, I flew home. He sent me home in an airplane, and he stayed another week or so. And he hitchhiked home, reading the Grapes of Wrath. So, great. It was an amazing experience. But these are experiences that, you know, they're once in a lifetime experiences for someone to have, and it was a blast. It seemed like it was hard work, and it was, you never knew what was going to happen. But we had so much fun, and my personality is a little different than his. For those of you who know me, but he never gave up on me. He always provided for me. He became my guardian without the state of California's approval, which is the grace of God. So, and he had no support from anyone. He supported me out of his own funds. He took care of me. And during that time, he introduced me to his family, and it was instantaneous. I was one of the kids. All the kids were getting in the back of the truck one day. Dominic, get in the truck. Let's go. We're all going together. I was Grandma Betty, Grandpa Dick, when they came to town. Amazing, the food. I would show up and I would be like the crown prince. I'd walk in the door, big hug, kisses, sit me down at the table, start feeding me food. I've mentioned to her one time, do you have any of that rice pudding? Yeah. Remember that? And she goes, oh, we don't. Richard, go to the store right now. And you know Richard's expression, oh, Mom. And but I'll go get it. It's fine. But she took care of me. This family took care of me. They love me. It's something that you can never exchange for anything. I mean, it's a dream come true. In the scriptures, God's promise is he puts the solitary in families. He gives the orphan a home. God is true. God is faithful. Another experience growing up, going off to college, you get that freshman year experience. You get to find out if your faith is true, if faith is real. My freshman year didn't go too well. And one time I came home the following day, and Richard said, you know, Dominic, whatever you choose to do, however you choose to live your life, I will love you always. And as someone who had been going to church and going to Bible study and things like that, and trying to find if that faith was my own, that changed my life. That love changed me. And as parents, although a lot of you know that how to talk to your kids, but he knew what to say and he meant it. And I'm ever thankful for him for saying that to me. He took in many foster kids. George is here. George, I have a picture of you sitting in his car with your head sitting out of the sunroof because you're so tall. But he loved us all. He didn't give up. He never, you know, just walked away from us. He always, no matter who we are, if it's short term, long term, he loved us. And we loved him as a result, and he taught us so much. There was at least a dozen of us for different varying times. He had me for 41 years. So, and he loved me that entire time. During my wife Michelle and I's his wedding, the night before, he wore his tux to the dinner. He had put little raspberries in the champagne glasses, and he wanted it to be just perfect. And he made it that way. He wanted things to be special. He got to be my best man at our wedding. And you could never, ever have someone who could be a better best man than Richard. Oh, goodness. The scripture on the board behind us, I really hope that it's on the bulletin that you really look at that. And you think about it and you cherish it. It was came to my wife's mind, and it was so perfect. So thank you for doing that. But that's our hope. Those of us who know Jesus, that is our future. It's our promise from our Savior. And Dan told me a few days ago, he goes, you know, the hard part is to know when it's our turn to go be with him. You know, how long? But we miss him, we love him, but he'll ever forever stay alive in our memories. So please cherish that. And I cherish my family. Thank you very much.
Hello. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm nervous. My name is Bertha. I've worked with Rick for 15 years. He was not only just a coworker; he was family. My big brother. He was always there to make us laugh. Give me good advice. I would argue with him, fight with him, race down the hallway with him so we could eat more. I'm never going to forget his laugh, his big smile. Always young at heart. I will miss his stories, his adventures. This is so surreal because I was always excited for him to come back so he could tell us his stories. I'll never forget when he took my daughters and me fishing for the first time. We caught the smallest fish. But we were so happy. He would pick up my daughter from volleyball and take her to ice cream while I get off of work. I'm going to miss our hikes, eating at restaurants, barbecuing. He would tell my daughters to eat a lot of olive oil and garlic so they could have a complexion like him. More than anything, I'm gonna miss him at 7 o'clock in the morning when he opens the door to the pantry. That's when our day would start with jokes, stories. There was never a quiet day with Rick. He would make our job so fun, sometimes stressful. I'm always going to have him in my prayers. And the only thing I regret is I never told him I love him. But I do. I love Rick so much. He's like family to me and my daughters. And all the stories he told us many times. 15 years. And it's so funny, the story of picking lettuce. We told the maids, and there was a maid that was there also. Yeah, picking lettuce. And they said that they would have to go in a school bus with dark windows because they'd throw rocks at them. And she was like, I was in that bus. It's a small world. Everybody knew Rick. But he'll always be in my heart, and thank you.
Lillian, Roman, Dominic, families and friends, thank you for being here today. Thank you for giving me a chance to be up here. I've known Rick half of my life. I worked with him for 20 years, 5 days, sometimes 6 days a week. I know if Rick is here right now, he would love to see all this happening and all this attention on him. Or, and he'd be like, go Mike, do it, do it. But give me 5 minutes, like always say, 5 more minutes. All I can say about Rick is he is rich with kindness. He was a God-fearing person. He was loving and giving. He cared with passion. Rick taught me so much. He taught me never to give up. Keep trying no matter what circumstances is. He motivated me, inspired me to be a better person, which I am today. and forever, Rick. I thank you. He was a great man, and I miss him a lot. I love the moment we spent time together setting up rooms for our arrivals, for holiday seasons, which is he whistles and sings the songs that Lillian had mentioned. Delivering breakfast coffees to the Whitmires. Without the coffee, of course, inside the pot. I know you remember that, Mr. Whitmire. Telling us stories, that's never-ending stories. What he ate for dinner, and what's the best restaurant to go to. I miss those days that we go fishing, and I see Rick coming out of the car with a cooler, and we're doing a picnic instead of fishing. I miss having breakfast with him on our days off. Coming out of the car, we have both the same wearing outfit.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. It is sad that he's gone, but I know he's in paradise. I love you, Rick. Forever you will be in my heart. I will see you again someday. On behalf of the Butler staff, Rick, thank you for being part of our life. You taught us so much in life. And I thank you all for coming today.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tamara, and this is my husband, Robert. And we're the team leaders for the Cascade Medical Team. We had the honor and privilege to be with Richard the last week of his life. And our team of 115 volunteers totally fell in love with him. Richard lived his life wholeheartedly. He gave cheerfully. He walked humbly and he loved deeply. We absolutely are sure when he entered heaven's gates that God told him those two words that we all hope to hear, well done. And we have a really nice video to show you all that Richard worked in the kitchen with half Guatemala staff, half American staff. And they all fell in love with him. And one of the American girls who works at the University of Oregon, we're from Oregon, made this video in honor of him, and I think you'll appreciate it. So thank you for all being here. He's a wonderful man.
Thank you.
May the good Lord be with you down every road you roam. And may sunshine and happiness surround you when you're far from home. And may you grow to be proud, dignified and true. And do unto others as you'd have done to you. Be courageous and be brave. And in my heart you'll always stay forever young. Forever young. May good fortune be with you, may your guiding light be strong. Build a stairway to heaven with a prince or a vagabond. And may you never love in vain, and in my heart you'll always remain. Forever young, young. Forever young. Forever young. Forever young. And when you finally fly away, I'll be hoping that I served you well. For all the wisdom of a lifetime, no one can ever tell. But whatever road you choose, I'm right behind you, win or lose. Forever young, forever young, forever young, forever young,
My name is Pastor Rich Lammy from High Sierra Fellowship in Minden, where Richard had been fellowshipping and serving as an usher for the past several years. And I have the honor of closing out today's service. As I was praying about what to say, I thought there's twofold things that we need to talk about. First thing would be comfort. You know, even though we have deep faith in Christ, grief is real. We grieve because we love. If we didn't love, we wouldn't grieve. And so what do we do with this thing called grief? The Bible tells us that people of faith, if you trust in Christ, we grieve, but not like people who have no hope. We have the hope of heaven. We have the promise of heaven. And we know because of Richard's faith, not because he was a great guy, but he was a great guy. And not because he was, you know, on a mission trip. That's not why he has the promise of heaven. It's because he trusted in Christ. So our grief is real. What do we do with it? I think the Proverbs says it the best. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That simple little proverb gives us great wisdom. First, he says to trust in God. Trust in God with everything you have. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live, even though he dies." What greater promise is that? There's no greater promise than the resurrection, eternal life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him has this promise of everlasting life. And we know, we can say with confidence, because Richard was a servant of Jesus, he has the promise, the hope of everlasting life. And so the proverb says, you know, trust in the Lord with all that you have. And then it says, do not lean on your own understanding. I think that's an important thing because you could question why. You know, Richard was so full of life. You know, why did God take him so quickly? But there's no answers. Life sometimes brings those things. But we do know that one day each of us will face a day when we will breathe our last. And so don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means to trust in the Savior. That means to have this great gift of eternal life that Christ has promised us by grace alone, through faith alone. He says, acknowledge him in all of your ways. And then the great promise, and he will direct your paths. Christ will be with you here on earth. Isn't it interesting that we need comfort at a time like this? And the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And so Christ sends the Comforter to give comfort to us during our time of grief. And so now we look at what losing a loved one, and he's gone so suddenly from us. We trust in Christ that he'll direct our paths here on earth, but he'll also direct them into eternity. When King David was grieving, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 42, in a very poetic language in that psalm. He talks about his grief, and he talks about how it comes on him at moments than he least expected. He talks like it's a wave coming over me. And that's how grief is. It's just a smell or a sight or a memory, and all of a sudden you find your heart is heavy once again. I like what David does. He talks to his own heart, and he speaks to his own soul, and he comes up with a great solution. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Friends, that's what I want to encourage you today. Put your hope in God. I'd like to read from the most famous of all psalms, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Familiar words to many of us, familiar words to most people, the most famous of all psalms. But did you notice that it starts with God? It says the Lord is. He exists. He is God, and he is good, and he desires to have relationship with every single person, and that's where it goes. He says the Lord is my shepherd. Hear the heart of King David. He says, he's my shepherd. We have this relationship. We're personal with one another, and that's what Christ desires for every person. And then it ends with God. He says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Everything else in between is life. There are good times. There's some times of sorrow. There's happy times, and there's times that are tough. There's times that God provides, but he says, you know, through it all, even though I go through those hard times, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because God is with me forever. That's the promise of Christ. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. If there's one scripture that encompasses the heart of the gospel, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The Bible teaches that God is holy and just, and we look at his commandments and we see that there is this perfection that God requires to be into his presence. And we look at those commandments and it reminds us that we've fallen short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we've all made images or put things in place of God. We've all moved away from the loving relationship he wants to have with us. We've misused his name. We haven't honored our parents. We've stolen and lied. Jesus said, if you hate others, it's just like committing murder in your heart. And so Isaiah would tell us with great wisdom, he says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own ways, but the Lord laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all." That's the gospel, my friends. That in Christ, you can be declared righteous. You can have the promise of eternal life. And so if you're here today and maybe your heart's heavy, trust in the Lord. And if you're here today and you don't have this great faith that Rich had, we ask that you would turn to the Lord today. Now, throughout this room, there's a bunch of pastors, there's a bunch of elders, and they're going to be kind of standing around up here. And when we dismiss after the closing song and we go to refreshments, if God's speaking to your heart, We those people would love to talk to you. They'd love to pray with you. Because if Rich was to come down from heaven today, I think he'd say a lot of things, you know. I mean, he'd be blown away by this crowd. But I think he'd really say, don't make such a big deal of it. I think he'd say, you know, guys, thank you for the heroics of trying to bring me back, but really, I didn't want to come back. I think he'd tell us of the glories of heaven. You guys can't believe it. You know, the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the wonderful things that God has for us, but I got to tell you, it's better than that. And Jesus is right there. You can't believe it. His wonder, his beauty, his glory, his love, I see it every day. And he would want each one of us to have that opportunity to be in the glory. And as David said so well, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you going to dwell in that house? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and give us that song that we're going to close with. So I'm going to ask the pastors and elders that are here, just stand around the sides up there, up front. And if you need prayer, if you want to talk to somebody, please don't harden your heart. Today, if the Lord is speaking to you, turn to Christ and you too can have the promise of eternal life. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for our brother Richard, whom we love so much, Lord. I pray for those who are grieving, God, that the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, would bring comfort to their hearts, Lord. But Lord, help us all to hang on to the promise of heaven. And I pray for those who maybe are here today and they don't know you. They saw Richard's great faith, but they don't know you, Lord. So I pray that you'd humble their hearts and help them to receive Jesus. For whoever has the Son has life. And Lord, we thank you again for your promises. We thank you again for this time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the grace of the Lord be with you. And may the God of all comfort comfort you with only the comfort he can give. In Jesus' name, amen.